Thanks, guys. Thanks, team. What a great opening. There's an Irish saying that says this: in the shelter of each other, we will live. We really need each other. Before I go into the persecuted church, just have one more announcement to make to you, and it's by way of a little video clip. We're planning this mission trip for March 2011, and would you please pray as we put together this team? Parents, if you have any questions, please talk to us. We're going to talk today about this theme, hearing their cry, talking about the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And I'm going to start with this. An American TV journalist interviewed a group of children from a Sunday school in southern Sudan, where Arab Muslims regularly raided their village and slaughtered Christians. Many of their relatives had already been killed. The journalist asked, "Would you turn to Islam, or would you prefer to die for Christ? And if so, why?" They replied, "We will remain Christians because this is the truth." As they spoke, their faces seemed to glow with light, just like Stephen, Christianity's first martyr, whose face, it was said, was that of an angel. Thanks for being here this morning. This day, it's a call for believers in Canada to lift up a united global prayer for our brothers and sisters who, because of their faith in Jesus, fear for their safety and freedom. So this theme of hearing their cry, this is a theme verse for this. Psalm 10, verse 17 says, "You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry." As we would remember those who suffer for their faith, and we're reminded we suffer here different ways maybe than others in the world, but both in Canada and around the world, let us remember that they are being used like jars of clay to carry and communicate Christ's message. We will pray earnestly for God's protection, for increased freedom in their home countries to express their faith without fear of persecution. Their lives of dedication for God's glory challenges and reminds us that we are called to live lives for His glory in times of peace or in times of persecution, in seasons of plenty or famine, in freedom or in chains. So this day we will stand with those suffering and we will lift a united cry to God, while encouraging our brothers and sisters that the all-present God hears our cry and will answer. You might wonder, what difference would our prayers make in the face of such persecution? If you were to ask the men and women living in this reality, they would explain that moment by moment and prayer by prayer, they depend on God, just as we do, for their lives and protection. Your prayers are the whisper of hope in a dark place, and the assurance that they are not alone in their stand for Christ. your prayers could be the peace and courage that they would need to see another day. So again, thank you for joining with me today as we remember the persecuted church. We're just going to watch a video clip that's been prepared for this day. I will say, parents, if you have young children, there are a few images that you might not want them to see. But the theme of hearing their cry, this is a video clip.
All over the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ are being arrested, beaten, and killed because of their love, devotion, and witness for Jesus Christ. Do you hear their cry?
Nhiều quá, bà bước, bà có nhiều, bà có bỏ. Bỏ đi, bà còn trốn đi. Mà ở đây là năm 2004 họ tiếp tục đánh lại đó, thế là bà con không chịu đấy, không bỏ chúa được. Nhưng bỏ chúa thì họ cho sống, anh ấy không bỏ chúa thì họ không cho, thế là bà con vô đây sống đây cũng khó khăn. Bây giờ không có nhà ở mà không chính quyền cũng là khó.
So that is how I lost my three sons and my sister's son and my brother's daughter, five of them.
They got to the house. They were almost getting out of the house. These militants pushed them back to the house, locked the door from outside, and put a gallon of petrol inside, and threw a match inside.
So they called themselves together. They said, since we cannot escape, let us pray that at least God will receive our soul. So they put hands together and started praying, and that is how they got burnt.
Those who beat me came to the hospital. They said to the doctors, "Don't keep her here. If you do, we will kill you." I told my mother, "I will never be able to stretch out my hand again. My hand will always be like this." I was crying.
Several times I was kidnapped and was taken to an unknown place where they would hit me. For a month I couldn't listen very well because my hearing was damaged. Several times I was tortured physically.
They removed my clothing and they beat me very badly with a leather strap. Two were holding me down while another one hit me, and twice they sodomized me with a metal rod. They said, "If you accept Islam, we will not continue to beat you." I said, "You have already tortured me. Do whatever more you want to do to me, but I will not become a Muslim."
When one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. Will you join in the suffering of the followers of Jesus? Will you pray for them? Do you hear their cry?
I'd invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 10, from where the theme verses come from. Psalm chapter 10. Every Christian, those who would name the name of Christ, we saw some of their stories here, those who have by faith put their trust in God, in Jesus for salvation, those who have ever suffered persecution know that they could be tempted to doubt God's faithfulness. The wicked scoff and boast, prosper and advance. God's children suffer and die under the blows of tyrants and terrorists who have no conscience and no fear of God. So Psalm 10, verse 2, starts this way. In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble. His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims. He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He covers his face and never sees. We cannot help but cry, as in verse 1. Why, Lord? Yet, Jesus himself, while he was here on earth, he warned us that persecution would come, that it would be expected. You don't have to turn there, but just going to listen to a reading of part of John 15 and 16. Jesus warned us that persecution.
If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you.
Jesus warns us of persecution, that tribulation, trouble would be inevitable in this world. Later on, he would write, Jesus would say, in the world you will have tribulation or trouble. But he adds this, be of good cheer or take heart. I have overcome the world. Our omnipotent, our all-powerful, eternal God is always with us. He's omnipresent. He does not hide himself and is never far off, having promised this. In Matthew 28, he said, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And also back in Deuteronomy, it says this, the Lord is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. And all of his interventions are defined and motivated by righteousness, justice, and everlasting love. If we think to Psalm 10, here King David writes that when trouble rolled in, threatening his life and his freedom, that he exercised a radical faith in God, a faithful God. He petitioned God this way. Reading Psalm 10, starting at verse 12, he said this, arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness that would not be found out. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more. King David, confident that God would hear and not ignore the cry of the afflicted, the humble. In another psalm, he would write, for he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. And this is what our theme verse again is. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry. Now, our English translation may be soft compared to what this verse is actually saying, which is this, that our eternal God, he hears the desire, the longings of the afflicted, the helpless, the humble. He strengthens, he makes firm, he establishes their hearts, and always remains keenly, sharply, and attentive, with ears pricked to hear those who would cry out to him. It is in arrogance, folly, and faithfulness that we would invest our hopes in human beings, in human institutions, human works, political power, military might, and money. If we would but petition our faithful God that even if our cry is but a whispered prayer, delivered with a heavy heart, failing breath from a dark and lonely place, our faithful God will hear because he has inclined or extended his ear toward us. It says in Psalm 116, says this, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Sometimes in his wisdom and providence, God may wait. We experience that ourselves in our lives and certainly for our persecuted brothers and sisters in the world. God may wait to show his grace and mercy. Isaiah 30 says this, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. That does not mean that he has not heard, for it also says the latter part of that verse, blessed are all who would wait for him. He has promised salvation. So let's cry, let's petition, let's pray, intercede with confidence to our faithful God who hears, and then we would wait and watch with expectation. Psalm 5 says this, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation." Let's do that together as we join in praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters. I've asked two men who can come now to pray with us for our persecuted brothers and sisters. So Paul and Pat, come forward, and together we'll join in praying for the persecuted church.
I have here a list of all the countries that around the world, and that's not all of them, but just some. Just put it there for us to kind of glance at as we pray. Paul, let you go ahead first, please.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come before your throne, we are so privileged to think of these brothers and sisters and circumstances that we can't really relate to, where persecution is real, where their body are being tortured, where their families are being torn apart, where families are being murdered. Father, I know in my heart that I have a hard time relating to those brothers and sisters in Iraq and in India, in Sudan, where they're literally putting their lives on the line for Jesus. Father, I pray for these brothers and sisters that your Holy Spirit would give them the words to share, give them the strength to continue in faith, give them the love for their persecutors. Father, we'd also pray for the persecutors, for you died for them also. Father, we pray that your Spirit, through the blood of these saints, would bring souls to Christ. We pray that your Spirit would touch my heart, that I would be more aware of their need for our prayers. Father, we're so comfortable in this country. We're so pampered at sometimes, because our brothers are out of sight, they're out of mind also. Help us, help me to be more fervent in prayer for them. Father, I thank you so much that we have this privilege of lifting these brothers and sisters before your throne. I thank you so much that they are faithful. They are examples to us. And Lord Jesus, keep them close to your heart. Lord Jesus, keep us aware. Keep us in tune with the persecuted brothers in Christ. Again, we lift these countries of Iraq, of India, Egypt, Jerusalem, Israel, Father, that wherever our brothers in Christ are being tortured, that your spirit would lead them. We thank you so much that the victory's already been won through Calvary. We thank you so much that it's not on a man-made creed, it's not on man-made belief that the victory's been conquered, that the enemy has been overturned, that Satan himself has been chained and will be chained in the coming days. Father, we ask again for protection, for strength, for love, for encouragement for these men, women, and children, our brothers and sisters in Christ, in these countries that, again, I know I can't fathom. As I see those pictures on this video, it's hard to grasp the pain that they're going through. But yet it's real. Bless them and keep them in Jesus' name.
Father in heaven, we continue to pray and we thank you for bringing to mind those people that are in trial. If you've seen these video clips of people of lost brothers and sisters, we've seen families torn apart, homes blown up and burned. We've seen violence against your people, Christians who love you. And Lord, we realize that as Paul says, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil places in this world. Men who are being blinded by Satan himself. As we remember, as our brother Stephen, the first martyr, was being stoned to death, he did not curse those people, but he prayed that they would be able to see, that their eyes would be opened, and he prayed that they'd be forgiven. And Lord, these men and these people who are doing these things, their eyes have been blinded. Satan has blinded their minds. And we just pray, Lord, that you will open their eyes. We think of the pastors and the evangelists that have been taken and imprisoned. Some of them have been imprisoned, many in China and other countries of the world where there is no freedom to witness your word. And so, Lord, we just pray that human rights, such as the freedom of religion, to choose the faith that you want to choose and be able to go on a Sunday morning like we have right here this morning, to meet without being terrorized, without being persecuted to the point of death. Lord, we just pray for the Hindu world. I think of, again, India, a Hindu country where the Hindus are also on the uprise against Christianity. We just pray, Lord, for Naples as well, another country that is being attacked this way. We think of the Buddhist world, Burma. We think of Sri Lanka, Bhutan. These countries, Lord, where the Buddhists also are persecuting the Christian world, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, we also think even over here in our part of the world, we think of Mexico, Colombia, the Philippines, not so much here, but Lord, just pray your blessing to all these people that are in these countries, that persecution is happening. People are being put to the test to challenge them to recant of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for him. We just pray, Lord, for strength and perseverance and wisdom and witnessing and tenderness of love and care for the lost around this world. We just ask now your blessing on each of these countries. There's so many that haven't even been mentioned. There's Turkey and Iran, Nigeria, Lord, Afghanistan, Lord, all these places. We hold up our brothers who are believers, our sisters who are believers, and the children that are even left behind where the father and mothers have been taken and imprisoned or put to death. We just pray, Lord, for their strengthening and for the resolve of winning the battle to not forsake the Lord Jesus Christ, but to continue to hold up his name in spite of even the point of death. So we ask now in Jesus Christ's name, our Savior, and we thank you for this time to bring these people before your throne in prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thanks, Paul and Pat. Just quickly, you may be sitting there and wondering, well, what can you do? The first thing is to remember to pray. This is important. It says in Hebrews 13, remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Let's pray today and continue to remember to pray. Another thing that you could do is to be informed. Here's a short list of some organizations that put together this International Day of Prayer: Intercede International, International Christian Response, Open Doors with Brother Andrew. What a great biography to read, Brother Andrew's biography. The Evangelical Fellowship of Canada and the Voice of the Martyrs. I was also handed this little magazine, Christian Freedom International. They have a store in Sioux, Michigan. And so again, be informed. These organizations help us to be informed about our persecuted brothers and sisters. One that Becky and I, we get their newsletter is the Voice of the Martyrs. Persecution.net is their website. They do have a free newsletter magazine that you can subscribe to. Persecution and Prayer Alerts to keep praying. They've got resources, books, and videos. You can engage in letter writing to write to somebody in prison who's been there for a few years to encourage them. And then opportunities to give. I'll just mention one opportunity they have. North Korea is a place where Christians are persecuted. It's on the top of the list, actually. But they have where they would bring in, they call it a Christmas blessing. And so for $50, they're able to, sort of like the shoeboxes, able to send some resources, a Bible, to North Korean Christians. So that's just ways that we can give. So if you have any questions, please come and talk to me. But let's pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters and ourselves be ready to take a stand for our faith. Thank you.